You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast.
So would it be weird if I like would it throw everybody off for the mission? Just didn't interrupt you one time. I mean, what if I next time?
Yeah, I think in the course of 125 episodes, they're probably on one hand, I can probably count the number.
Okay, I'm going to do it. Now, I'm going to not interrupt you anymore on this one, but the next one we do, I'm not going to interrupt you either. So remind me. At the beginning.
Matter of fact, I'm going to hold you to that.
You should remind me at the beginning and say, Ed, you promised not to interrupt, like right as you start. But you the introduction is so boring. It's hard for me. I'm back here. I'm like, oh, I'm so bored. And I just jump in. Okay. So anyway, I'm sorry.
All right. Be sure to go to newchurches.com. If you are not signed up, you can go to newchurches.com/register. And we have 3 research reports on church planting and multiplication that you can get for free. There, if you have already signed up, you can download them just at newchurches.com and search for them in the search bar. Well, today we have a question from Chris Phillips. All right, so let's listen in.
Hey, my name is Chris Phillips, and in about 8 months, I will be moving to Denver, Colorado to begin a process of planting a church there after spending about a year with another church, a sister church that will be equipping and encouraging me as we begin to learn the culture and develop our lead team. Obviously, in that process now and in developing a prospectus and church planning proposal, I will be going to seek partnerships. One of the things I'd love to hear from best experiences from you guys is the best ways that you get people to give to the vision as opposed to over the need. We know that there are needs everywhere, and so obviously you want to cast the appropriate vision, but what ways have you seen more successful than others in giving to vision over the need for church plants?
All right, I love how Chris worded that because he kind of started with one of the answers when it comes to fundraising, right? That it's, he understands that we need to cast vision rather than just saying, hey, I need money. But it's this idea of casting that vision. What are some successful, because I know you've done quite a bit of fundraising in the course of ministry, Ed. What are some thoughts that you have to encourage people to give to the vision over the need?
Well, sure. Let me just say first that if you have a vision for evangelism church planning, the Billy Graham Center for Evangelism is a great opportunity for you to give, because now I'm raising funds every year. But anyway, I think you hit it right, though. Like I said, he sort of talked about it, but he's casting vision, and there needs practice with that. You really need to get an elevator pitch and then a longer pitch that you talk to people, 2 versions. You know, and say to somebody, you know, hey, let me tell you quickly what we're doing. We're planting this church. You know, Denver is a place where there's a lot of need. You know, blank percentage of people don't know the Lord. Blank percent don't go to church. And we want to get you engaged and involved. And then have a sit-down conversation and ask, hey, can I get together and tell you more about it? And then, you know, bring some printed resources, open those printed resources, walk through those printed resources with the person, share with them. And then ultimately ask them, say, would you think and pray about this? And then come back and ask them and do the big ask later on and say, you know, we'd like to ask you to do this. So again, it's hard because people sort of get in their head that it's a bad thing to ask people for money. And I actually don't think it is. I think it's an opportunity for them to be blessed. And I don't say that flippantly. You know, I mean, when I give, I'm thankful for the ability to give. You know, I'm thankful that I can give. And so, you know, so I think ultimately getting kind of over the concern, seeing it as an opportunity for them to have ministry and be blessed, and then, you know, getting kind of a process. Now, again, I recommend a lot Bill Dillon's book. Is it People Raising? I think that's what it is. I'm Googling it as we speak. Because I think it helps you to kind of get a picture of how fundraising works. Yeah, it's People Raising. So William P. Dillon, but I know him as Bill. And so those kinds of resources are really, I think, helpful. They ultimately give people, you know, some sort of training and some sort of ability to just start the conversation. The other thing too, sometimes it's hard because it depends on how many people you know, right? So, you know, so I've raised my own support 3 times maybe. But as I later on became, I guess, whatever I am, better known, I help my staff, you know, because last church we planted in Nashville, I didn't take any salary. I was a pure volunteer. And so, but I ask people to help support our staff, or I open doors for them. So find somebody. Now, again, when I say this, people are going to be like, well, can we ask you? Well, no, because I've actually, to be perfectly honest, you know, I'm helping to raise funds for two international church planters right now. And, you know, so that's been where my connections and relationships have gone. And people are like, oh, here's another invitation from Ed Stetzer. But anyway, I think that kind of starting with an intentional strategy, getting some people to help you, get somebody who likes you, maybe your church pastor or others, to connect you with other church pastors. I think those are all key things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's great, because you've really outlined a few different tips, right, to find someone that is other well-networked to partner with, to be able to share together with, to help in that, you know, in terms of finding those warm, you know, those quote unquote warm leads, people who would be able to give you introductions to others rather than the cold call, or, hey, first time I met you, can I get some of your money, because this is a great vision, don't you want to give? And you're right in that having that relationship first is often a lot better, but don't necessarily put yourself in a corner to think that you need the relationship in order for someone to give, because some people, you know, when you cast that vision and it's a vision that the Lord has placed on their heart as well, and they see that, and that's the beauty of having that introduction too, is like, oh, you're this person trusts you and what you're doing is legitimate, and I see that need, then it's a great way for people, you know, people will give to that, right? Yeah, yeah. So don't say people's no for them is an important
thing. Great line. So one of the things I did, you know, back when I was planting a church, I went to my denomination has districts, we call them associations, and one of the things that helped one day is we had a partner district. It was in Georgia, and I was planting a church. I don't remember if it was in Pennsylvania or New York, but anyway, so I actually drove down, I think it was Pennsylvania, or flew down, I don't remember what I did, but anyway, so I went into their associational office, their district office, and I called people from there. And so what happened to caller ID, right? So people look and say, oh, this is a legitimate call. I mean, unless they get some call from, you know, Ed Stetzer's home number, they wouldn't know from Adam or my cell number. So, you know, basically by calling from there, I'm like, hey, I'm legit here. I'm connected. The denomination's approved me. And, you know, we don't know if he's in a network or a denomination, but networks or denominations are great places of connection. This is why I think it helps. I think being connected with other people is a good thing.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Now, let's maybe make a list right now, Ed, when, you know, he's about to plant, he's wanting to, you know, we've addressed the idea of the giving to the vision over the need. What would be some practical environments or areas that he should check off as he does this? You know, for example, it's, okay, who's the pastor that's going to be sending you out, or who's the church that's going to be sending you out? So one of the items on that list would be to cast vision to that church, to add, you know, another item on that list would be to ask the pastor of that church who are people in the area that you're going to be planting in, or who others who he knows to be generous in ministry and who has a passion for church planting, so to get contacts from him. What would be some other items that you would list on that checklist?
Yeah, so I would connect your with your regional judicatory leadership. You know, that's kind of your denominational district or association or convention, or your whatever, your diocese. And so I would connect with them. I would connect with national leaders and ask them. I would make sure that really I have alignment good with national, you know, depending on how many levels there are in your denominational organization, national, local, whatever, if you have a middle level, whatever, I would do those things. But I think where most people overlook it is, because we talk about pastors and people the pastor might know, is I think they overlook like friends and family. Yeah. And so, I mean, I literally sit down and with my friends and family and ask them, and I'm not offended by anybody who can't give. People tell me, I actually told people, recently, that I'm actually supporting a couple of global missionaries and you know, so I'm all in already, and my stuff's committed somewhere else. So I don't think that's a bad thing. So I'm not offended when people ask me. So I think that people are kind of surprised they're afraid it's going to be this awkward congregation conversation, but most people are okay just saying no. But a whole lot of times they'll say yes, but you got to do the ask. And what I would say is get some training on this, you know, read some books. If you can go to, like, there's several denominations or groups that sort of order, offer training. And here's what I would say. Just remember that Campus Crusade and InterVarsity and, you know, I can list 10 other people, organizations, and they literally have tens of thousands of people raising all their funds every single year. Literally tens of thousands of people.
For decades.
Exactly.
For decades.
And so it may be new to you, but it's not new.
Yeah.
And, you know, we had
a lot of good stuff out there.
Yeah, we had a couple in our church, and our denomination's kind of out of money for sending people internationally. But so they created a category, whereas if the people raise the funds, that they can go still right through the system. It's called GC2. And so they're in Brazil. Mm. You can Google Travis and Anita Simpson, GC2 Brazil, and get involved. You can support them, right? So I do. And so our church gives it, we're the biggest supporter, but they raise the rest of their funds. And they did it. By just asking people. And that's the amazing thing is that, so don't talk yourself into it because you haven't seen it in your denomination or your network. Don't talk yourself into it. There are lots of people who ultimately will and are willing to give.
Yeah. And don't neglect the importance of cultivating that ongoing relationship, right? So I'll give you a personal example. My wife and I, we have three young children under 7 at this point, and a few years back, I mean, we used to pastor in Montreal, so we had friends there, and one of our friends was raising funds. And at that point, when he had first asked us, we were really kind of squeaking by, trying to pay the bills, and we couldn't. We said we'll support you through prayer, but we can't necessarily provide any funds. And then tax time came, and we got a refund, and I was like, hey, you know what? Here, I'll give you. I can't do recurring, but I can't do a monthly, but I can give you this check. I'll write you this one time check. And he was like, grateful, and we love the guy. We love his ministry, and we love Montreal. So we were praying for them. We were able to give a little bit more. Well, a year later, he asked. He needed some more support, and he came and asked me again. Right? He wasn't afraid. He wasn't like, oh, Daniel's done. He's off my list. He already gave. He said no before because he couldn't, but I'm not even going to ask him. He didn't, right? He didn't say no for me, right? So he went and he asked. And at that time, my wife and I were doing a little bit better. And we were like, hey, you know what? We love this guy. We love what he's doing. Let's actually now give recurring. So we actually now give, you know, on a monthly basis to a church planter in Montreal because we know how important ministry is there and how important it is to plant churches in that area. But It took us, you know, probably 3 or 4 years to get to that point where we were able to do that, because I'm not necessarily in the belief that I'm going to take my tithe out of my local church in order to give it to someone else. I believe that's a little bit more of a, hey, that's in addition to, or so, I mean, that's kind of where we were at. But just to give you a personal story and not saying no for other people.
Love that. I think ultimately this can be done. I just encourage you, don't give up on it. Stay faithful and you can get it done.
Yeah. So thanks again for listening in. Be sure to submit your questions at speakpipe.com/newchurches. If you are on a mobile device, if you're on your computer, you can go to newchurches.com and hit the sidebar on the right and get those in. We would love to answer them. We'll catch you next time.